much of what we have is full-grown commercial-grade equipment. As you can see, we've got a number of full-color brochures and calendars and things that we print. We've got a number of labels. Back several months ago, when the big battle was going on about taking In God We Trust off of our money and everything else, I designed a label. It's got a verse of scripture on it, a Bible, a verse of scripture, and then the words In God We Trust. And we put that on every bill, every letter, every box, everything that goes out of our office. Since then, other churches, we have printed thousands of those labels since then. And you look them over, especially primarily you preachers, and if you see something there that we can help you with, you let me know. We just bought a machine a couple of months ago that now lets us do business cards just like that. I mean, you know, we can do business cards and we can do 100 in about 5 minutes, cut, boxed, and ready to go. So that's a big improvement. You don't understand what's involved printing business cards and then cutting them down to size and everything else. So we've got some samples there, and feel free, particularly you pastors, but the In God We Trust, I bought a whole box. Help yourself. If we run out, we'll mail Brother Reynolds another box when we get back. I do appreciate this church inviting me, especially after you heard my brother. You had the nerve to invite me. Someone said that you're not at all like your brother, and I said, thank the Lord, you know. But then they said, you know, we really like him. And let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Begin reading with verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Several months back, in fact, several months back, I began taking a deep look at people that I know that called themselves Christian, and I preached this at my church just a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I am convinced we have members of our church who are lost. Well, that got everybody's attention. I mean, that really, you know, really got them going. I believe and preach that hell is a very real place. I believe that it's a place of tremendous torments. I believe that anyone and everyone who is not saved is bound to spend eternity there. We all believe that mentally. I believe that once a person is truly saved or born again, they can never, never die and go to hell. Sometimes we refer to this as once saved, always saved. But I'm also very much afraid that we've taken once saved, always saved, and we've stressed it to the point that we've stopped preaching the necessity of doing God's will. We have so emphasized that a person cannot fall from grace that we've given people assurance that they are eternally saved when in reality they were never saved to begin with. And we tell them, oh, you were saved and you can never go to hell. No, they weren't. Merely having some kind of an experience is no more salvation than sticking a metal screwdriver into an electrical outlet and getting shocked. That's an experience. I learned that the hard way. When I was in Aurora, Indiana, we were remodeling, and I still think my father-in-law did it on purpose. He was an electrician, and he came down and said, I've disconnected all of the plugs. You can go ahead and take them out and tear the wall down. I grabbed hold of a 220. I am not joking. I picked myself up all the way across the room. That was an experience. But it wasn't salvation. Sometimes I'm afraid that we have so emphasized the experience that we have convinced people they're saved when they're not. I'm very, very much afraid of that. A person can remember every detail of that experience, and yet if they didn't repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ, that emotional experience that they may have had will send them to hell, believing till their last breath that they were saved. Even though I've, preached many times, I know you've heard it. I'm afraid, and I look at independent Baptists. I am from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, but I look at independent Baptists and what goes on in many of our churches, and I am literally very much concerned that we have somehow given people a false hope of going to heaven. I don't want to scare anybody out of salvation, but I don't want anybody who hears my voice to die and go to hell because some preacher gave them a false hope. I don't want that blood on my hands. I want to look at what Jesus said, and pretty much I'm going to let the Bible speak for itself. In verse 18, Jesus said, you can judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Now we understand that in the natural realm. You plant an apple tree, you don't go out and start looking for apricots. You understand if it has the sap of an apple tree flowing up through that trunk, the sap that flows within is going to make its way up, and the sap is going to produce apples. That tree can't produce anything else. It's in its insides. It's in its innermost being. It's going to produce apples. And we go around and somebody says, what kind of a tree is that? I don't know. You watch it. Pretty soon you see an apple begin to pop out. You can say, that's an apple tree. I can tell by the fruit that it bears. We understand that in the natural realm. I also understand that talk is cheap. You know, people can talk a lot of things. You can take a sign, staple it onto an apple tree and say, I'm a pear tree. But it's still an apple tree and its fruit is going to give it away. Talk is cheap. And I'll get to this in a second, but my oh my, I listen to people, I see people, and as a pastor, I say this with a broken heart to my people that many, not many, but a few of the people who sit under my preaching, who are members of our church, give no fruit whatsoever of salvation. They stick a sign on themselves and says, I'm a Christian. But a sign doesn't mean anything. It's what comes out of the heart. It's what comes through the life. And I have pleaded that examine themselves. Verse 20 is just as true as John 3:16 is. By their fruits ye shall know them. Not may, not could. You shall know them by looking at their fruit. Verse 18 says, a good tree will not normally, bear with me. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Now, I don't think I'm doing any injustice to say that what he's talking about is an habitual pattern. Every tree, the best tree, can produce one bad apple occasionally, but it's not going to be the pattern. It's going to be the exception rather than the rule. I look around and I look at my own self, and sometimes I feel like Paul, and Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul had been saved for years, traveled all over as a missionary, started churches all over the country, and he still felt that he was right then the chiefest of sinners. I feel that way sometimes. Sometimes I'm embarrassed by the thoughts that go through my mind. Sometimes I'm ashamed of the way that I act or react when something happens. But those are the exception. They're not the rule. And in fact, I'll get into this later, but lest you tune me off before I get there, when those exceptions come, you find yourself on your knees confessing and saying, God, I sinned, forgive me. Lost people don't feel that way. They don't have that shame. Notice in verse 21, and we'll take our main thoughts from verse 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, I said a while ago, talk is cheap. Talk is also really very easy. There are a lot of people who talk the right talk. They've learned the correct terminology for religion. But you know, I found out you can train a parrot to talk. doesn't mean a parrot's saved because it talks. We used to have a man in our church in Texas that, what was it he raised? Some kind of bird, I don't remember. But anyway, it was one of those talking birds, and man, he could get those birds to say almost anything. You teach them a few religious words, throw in an amen, hallelujah occasionally, throw in a praise the Lord, and you've got a Christian bird right there on your hands. And I'm afraid that's what we've done with people in our churches. They've learned how to talk. They've learned the right amens and hallelujahs. They've learned how to say praise the Lord. But it's all talk. It's nothing but empty words. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people tonight who have learned how to talk. Are you saved? Why, absolutely! I know I'm saved! They talk good. They talk the right words. But talking doesn't allow anyone to enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice Jesus said, this is not an isolated thing. That's why every one of us need to set up and take heed. Jesus said, many, many shall say unto me. It would be tragic if there was one that died lost, thinking they were saved. But this is not isolated. This is many people. There are many people today who talk like a Christian, who go to church like a Christian, who talk the right talk. But it's all talk. There's nothing in their heart. Folks, when Jesus says there's going to be many, it means that in a crowd this size, there's probably some here. I said, you're judging. Well, Jesus said you can judge the tree by the fruit it bears. I had a man just recently say, Bible says thou shalt not judge. And I looked at him and I said, that same Bible says you can judge a tree by the fruit it bears. There's going to be many folks. Many. No doubt some of them have sat under sound, solid Baptist preachers for years. They've been on the church roll for years. Well, let's read. I don't have to tell you what they've done. Some of them prophesied. That means, if I understand it, some of them were preachers. You mean preachers can be lost? If they've never repented of their sins and trusted Jesus Christ, I don't care who they are, they're lost. Many are going to say, Lord, Lord. Boy, respectful. You know, these are respectful people. These aren't people that cuss you out and swear at you and everything else. These are very polite, respectful, religious people who say, Lord, Lord. It's funny. Besides everything else that I do, I'm a chaplain with one of the local police departments, and part of that means I get to ride for 10 hours every time I ride. I get to ride a shift with the officer. Wherever he goes, I'm right beside him or right behind him. And I rode back about a month or so ago, and we arrested this guy who was so drunk. I mean, this guy was so drunk. He called, because I'm in uniform, you know, I look pretty much like an officer. Man, this guy used cuss words that I haven't heard in ages. I mean, he cussed us out. He cussed us out. He called us every four-letter, five-letter, every word you can think of, and some you probably wouldn't think of. And finally, after quite a while of listening to that, the officer opened the glass and said, "You better shut up back there. This is a chaplain." Boom, just like that. That man turned so religious. You think he's saved? I doubt it. But he knew the right talk. Soon as he found out I was a chaplain, he started talking the right talk. He knew what to say. There's going to be a lot of folks who are going to say, "Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out devils." And I was thinking while Brother Meadows was preaching, that would be pretty neat to cast out devils. I mean, man, I'd like to, well, no, I'm not going there, but wouldn't it be neat to find somebody and cast out the demons? Whoa, that person must surely be saved. That person, wow, they've got power over demons. They must be saved. And oh, in thy name. I mean, they were even doing it in the right name. Done many wonderful works. You know, I thought, when I preached this 2 weeks ago, here these folks are standing before God, still trying to argue with God their way. You think about it. Here they are standing at the great white throne judgment, and they are so arrogant that they are still trying to persuade God to let them in their way. They still won't accept salvation by grace. They're trying, even at the great white throne, they're trying to impress God with all the good works they've done. Folks, there's going to be many, many who are going to do this very thing. "Lord, I taught Sunday school. I was a deacon. I was a song leader. I was a church clerk. I was a trustee. I was the treasurer." God's going to say, "Sorry. Talk doesn't do it. Talk doesn't cut it." Jesus said in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." I got down here, God doesn't care what we say. It's what we do that counts. I say, "Brother Reynolds, I really like you. You've just been a jewel this week. When I get home, I'm going to send you $1,000 just because I like you." But if I say it and never do it, have I done him any good? No. No. It's not what we say. It's what we do. But notice, it's not just doing anything. You know, a lot of people are busy doing a lot of things that are not the will of my Father which is in heaven. So just being busy doesn't mean that you're pleasing God. Again, I go back. "Lord, I taught Sunday school. I sung in the choir. I played the piano. I sung specials." Did you do the will of God? "Well, I thought I was." What you thought is doesn't count. It's what God's Word says that He's going to go by. You go over to Revelation there when it says that the books were open and they were judged out of the things that were written in the books. Now, I hope I don't stir up a hornet's nest, but I believe those books are the Bible there. Lost people are going to say, Lord, I did such and such, and I did this and that, and Lord, I was busy doing this and that, and Jesus is going to say, did you do the will of God, my Father? If you didn't do God's will, well, Lord, I cast out devils. Okay, let's see what my Bible says. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Did you do that? No, but I prophesied. Oh, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. But Lord, I thought you had my Bible, and brother, you went hand in hand here. Did you do the will of my Father? Lord, I did many wonderful works. Did you do the will of God, my Father? And by the way, that will, as Brother Meadows so ably presented, is always found in God's Word. How can I know God's will? Go to God's Word. I too have often wished that God would write it on the wall for me. You know, Lord, just write it on the wall and tell me what you want me to do. Sure make it easier, wouldn't it? No, because I'd probably argue with the wall. I'd be, you know, Larry can vouch for that. I'll let him vouch for that. Notice what happened here. The talkers only are cast out. Depart from me. I never knew you. But Lord, I knew the preacher. I never knew you. I knew the deacon and the Sunday school teacher. I never knew you. And folks, it doesn't matter who you know. What matters is, does God know you? There's going to be many, many. These folks had everyone else fooled. I can almost hear their funeral. Pastor gets up and says, Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so was one of the most faithful, one of the most dedicated members we had. And Jesus said, I never knew him. You know, I've joked a lot. Some of you have already found out. I love to kid. I love to cut up. I love to have a good time. But I've told our people, if you die and I conduct your funeral, I'm not going to lie for your funeral. If you were a scoundrel, I'm not going to get out and say what a wonderful person you were. But you know, there's always the possibility that even I can be deceived. Someone, I mean, man, you think about it. What pastor wouldn't want somebody in their church who was a preacher, who did many wonderful works? Wouldn't we brag on them at their funeral and say what a great Christian they were and how proud we were to know them? And man, we could just rain all kinds of praise on them, because they even had us deceived. But folks, you're not going to deceive God. You can deceive me. I'm gullible. God knows the heart.
He doesn't listen to your mouth. He doesn't listen to your talk. He looks at your deeds, not your busyness, not all of the wonderful works, but He looks to see if your words matched up with the will of my Father. And if it doesn't match up with God's Word, the preacher at your funeral cannot preach you into heaven. The talkers were cast out. Depart. Depart. I never knew you. I don't know about you. Tell you what, when I read this, it makes me dig down deep and search my soul. If these people can be deceived, that means that Satan is really good at what he does. I mean, he's good. He'll let you join the church. He'll let you do good works. He'll even let you preach. As long as your heart's not right with God and you're not doing the will of God, Satan will laugh you right into hell when you breathe your last breath and say, "I'm going home." God says, "Sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What is the will of God? You could preach for hours on this. I'm not. I'm going to give you a couple of things. John 15:5. What is the will of God? How can I know? What fruit? If good works don't mean I'm a good tree, what fruit should I be bearing? John 15:5. When he had found... Okay, I'm in Luke. I was going to say, whoa, that ain't right. John works much better. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now I know I used this passage the other night. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. I've said it at my church. I've said it every place God has let me preach. A person who can live in hate, I have to question their salvation. Hate and salvation are opposites. They don't go together. And yes, I get angry. I told somebody one time, my wife can make me happier than anybody on earth. She can make me happier and pleasant. She can make me the gladdest man on earth. But she can also make me so mad sometimes that, you know, yeah, I get angry. But if I'm saved, I can't stay angry. I get mad, but I cannot stay mad. Because if I'm abiding in Him, I'm going to produce much fruit. Well, we all sin sometime. But if we're abiding in Him, the Holy Spirit will not allow us to be happy in that sin. 1 John chapter 2, and I'm taking these notes right from exactly like I preached it at my church. 1 John chapter 2. Hereby we do know that we know Him. How can I know that I'm saved? How can I know that I'm really one of God's children? If we keep His commandments. And this is not an outward conformity. You can train a monkey, but a monkey's not saved. This comes from the heart. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Brother Reynolds, people that we have to beg and beg and beg and beg and pressure to come to church and serve God, they need a good dose of salvation and they will desire to be here. You won't have to beg them all the time. You won't have to pressure them all the time. You won't have to call them up and say, if you're not there Sunday, we're going to remove you for non-attendance. Brother, if a person is saved, they delight, they desire to keep God's commandments. Jesus said that's one way you can know that you know Him, is we keep His commandments. Look in verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. I didn't say this. Is in darkness. Verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. It's going to be many folks stand before God who had a religious experience. I ask people, and I know you do, there's nothing wrong with the question, are you saved? Oh yes, preacher, I know I'm saved. Well, how do you know you're saved? Why, when I was 8 years old, I walked down the aisle and God saved me. Well, what has He done for you since? What do you mean? I had an experience. Yeah, but if you had a real experience, it's a lifetime proposition. A lot of people, they vow and declare they're saved because they had an experience. Brother, back in 1975 in Aurora, Indiana, I had quite an experience. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Picking myself up across that room. That was an experience. I remember it. Oh, I remember when God saved me. Well, I'm glad you do. But has it changed your life? See, God doesn't save you and leave you like you were. Bible said we are new creatures. If I understand that word, it's the idea of we are new creations. God took something that did not exist and made something exist. He created. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Has that happened to you? I said, well, I'm saved. Have old things passed away? Have all things become new? Now, I know that may not happen overnight. There is this thing of progressive sanctification. But if you still enjoy the same old things, and you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then the verse we read, and I mention this because even among some of our kind of churches, hate is more known than love. And I used to say for years, I said, well, they're just backslidden. I'm not so sure that's the problem anymore.
I'm about to decide. I said, you're not God. You're right. I'm not God, and I'm thankful I'm not. I'm thankful that your eternal destiny doesn't depend on my opinion. But I'm telling you, God's Word said there's going to be many, many who are going to say, Lord, I did many wonderful works, but I never knew you. I've got a couple of preachers that I mentioned this the other night, I know, that I talk to on a fairly regular basis. And my brother's one, but I don't count him a preacher. He's my brother. That's different. But I tell you what, when you see Christians fuss and fight and bicker, and even preachers who will attack another preacher because of some foolish thing. You didn't dot your I right, brother. Your tie was crooked when you preached, and all kinds of stupid stuff. I don't care who they are or how long they've been preaching. Folks, I've got to say that spirit is contrary to the Spirit of Christ. How can I know I'm saved? Jesus said it, if we keep His commandments. Not because we have to, but because we delight in it. And we want to. I joke a lot about my wife, and she puts up with me very, very well. But I also know that I delight in doing things for her. Not because she's going to take my .357 under the bed and shoot me with it, but because I love her. And there is nobody that I would rather be with than my wife, honestly. Unless it would be, you know, God in fellowship with Him. I delight in that because I love her. If you love God, it's not what you're doing for God. It's how much you love God and let God work through you. I ask you tonight, are you saved? Don't tell me about an experience 40 years ago. Tell me what God's doing for you today. And if you have any question, I urge you, get with Brother Reynolds, get with Brother Failure, get with Brother Meadows, get with my brother, get with me, get with somebody, and let us show you God's Word and settle that issue before you leave here tonight. Brother Reynolds.